Well, I want to start out today by making an observation, if I could. And that observation is, I don't know if you've seen these or not, but somebody might be a guest here and wondering, what are all these backpacks doing here? And these backpacks we've been taking up since when, Mike? And we've been handing these out and collecting? About mid-June, and we had the deadline to come up. And these backpacks are going as part of our Christmas outreach to the Appalachia region. And I want you to know that I am so proud to be the pastor of a church where you took one of these. Some took two, some took three. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I also want to thank folks. And I wonder if you had anything to do with one of these backpacks, filling it, getting it, doing something. Would you stand? This is part of our missionary group, and I'll tell you what a great blessing this is for our church. You may be seated, and I just want to tell you thank you so much. And this is the great thing about Cherry Point Baptist Church, is everybody is a missionary. And so we want to get everybody involved in doing missions, because we really believe that's where we get blessed. In giving, we get blessed. So I think the kids who get these will be very blessed. I think there's over 100, is that right? We found one down there this morning behind the curtain, and so I think that took us over 100. And not only that, but this church is the regional pickup site. So churches in the area that may have done this, they're going to bring them to our church, and then we're going to take them down to Red Springs. I believe that's coming up when, Marion?
Thursday
of this week. They'll be loaded up and gone. So if you haven't gotten yours back yet, you've got one at home, and you just haven't had time, trust me. We'll take it till Thursday. And so you bring it and come on. But I think they've all been turned in. We bought more. And the other thing that I think is great about this is that we had a church in our association that saw what we were doing, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they sent us a check for us to buy things. So they are a part of it too, one of our sister churches in the association. So it is a great thing when you partner together and do something for the Lord. And I just want to start out with that announcement today, because I really think it speaks to the heart of our church. And I think it's a great thing for us to be involved in for missions, and there are more things. And tonight, I hope you'll come back, because I'm going to be sharing more about missions, and I'll be sharing more about what you as Southern Baptists do for the cause of Christ, not only in our state, but also in our nations. I hope that you'll come and do that. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to turn today with me to Luke, the 9th chapter. We're going to begin with the 24th verse, I believe, or the 23rd verse. I'll tell you in just a minute. But in the beginning of my sermon today, I want to tell you about a letter that was found in the office of a martyr for Christianity. The following note was found in the office of a young pastor in Zimbabwe, Africa, following his martyrdom for his faith in Jesus Christ. As they went through his things, they found this note. I am a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My father is in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. At first read, you might think Paul is a little arrogant when he wrote, follow my example, until you realize that what Paul was really saying, he was exhorting them to follow the Christ in him. As I follow Christ, follow me. And when I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. He wrote later in 1 Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So yes, we study Christ by reading the Gospels. And we study by watching those that we can observe who are more mature in the faith. We watch and listen as he relates to children, as our Lord relates to family members, as he relates to soldiers and kings, poor people, wealthy people, hurting people, needy people, religious hypocrites, false disciples. So you see, as we read the Gospels, we see how Jesus relates to God the Father and how he relates to the people of his time. We see his courage, his compassion, his wisdom, his humility, his patience, his strength. And having studied the Christ of the Gospels, we do our best to imitate him through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the church comes in here We also grow as disciples of Christ by observing and following the example of other believers. What does Paul say? He said, take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Some might ask, what does that mean? It means that there should be those in our congregation and every congregation whose lives are worthy of imitation. It means that normally in a church, over time, as people become more mature spiritually, their lives become more and more reliable as examples of what it means to live a godly life and to take up our cross and follow them. The normal thing for a Christian is not that we remain at the lowest level of knowledge and experience, that we learn just enough to get us into heaven, and then we put the Bible on the shelf. It is a daily taking up of our cross, learning about Him, and emulating more and more of Christ. We find that our Scripture today offers the demands of discipleship. It says that true disciples are called to lay something down. It says, let him deny himself. It comes from the word aparneome. It means to deny or to affirm that one has no acquaintance or even a connection with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we as disciples are to utterly disown ourselves, to refuse to acknowledge the self of the old man. We are to proclaim that we are killing the old self every day, that we're dying to self, and we're allowing the Christ in us to rise up. We Christians are to count the old man, it says in Romans 6:11, as being dead. Christians are to make no provision for the flesh. It says that we are to deny oneself means to follow the example set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the coming of this world. That's from Philippians. We are to live our lives as people who are alive to God but dead to sin and to the entire world. We as Christians also are called to pick up something. We're to deny our sinful self. We are to deny those old temptations. We are to deny those things that may have some kind of hold on us. And then he says we are to take up our cross and to fully understand the power of Jesus' words here when he says, take up thy cross. We must first examine what he's not saying. The cross is not just bearing the difficulties and pains of this life. Our cross is not a cantankerous spouse or a child that is wayward or an arthritic hip, because all of us have problems. Those who are saved and unsaved, that is a part of life. When Jesus spoke of the cross, he spoke of death, dying to ourselves that we might follow Christ wherever he leads us. He is a picture. This Christ that we claim as Savior is a picture of giving everything up so that you might know Him. It's a picture of our Savior taking His cross to Calvary that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. It's a picture of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed to the Father, when he knew that everything was coming upon him and it was revealed to him that he would be dying on a cross, a criminal's death. He says, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But finally he comes to his knees and says, Lord, thy will be done in my life. And we as Christians, people who claim the name, who've accepted the faith, we too also need to come to that point of our own Garden of Gethsemane. And when we come through and say, Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. I can't do this. I don't want to do that. We need to come to the same place that Jesus came and said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And we come to that point in our own Garden of Gethsemane. We come to this Savior and say, not my will, but thy will be done in my life, God. we will begin to experience the fullness of faith. We'll begin to experience all of the power of the Holy Spirit that can come to us to help us to take up our cross and follow Him. As I was studying and reading about this, I came upon a thought. And I thought about Jesus going to the cross. And all the pictures of movies and scripture and everything came through my mind as I learned that Jesus took His cross to Calvary and He did not withhold anything. Nothing. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. He gave us everything. He didn't withhold anything. And yet we as Christians sometimes may give our Heavenly Father the impression that I can't do that. It's too difficult. Lord, I want to be, but I want to hold a little bit back. I'm afraid to give You everything. But I will tell you, if the Scripture is clear about anything, if you're willing to accept Jesus' cross, Christian, then take up your cross and follow Him. Dying to ourselves is what He's talking about, that we might follow Christ wherever He leads us. He is a picture of literally giving everything up for us. We need to understand that. We find in John Piper's book, he wrote some very profound words, but basically he says, if you follow Jesus only because He makes life easy for now, it will look to the world as though you really love what they love. And Jesus just happens to provide it for you. I want to close by giving you the parable of the great banquet found in Luke 14, 16 through 20. Jesus tells the story. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything now is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, well, I'd like to come, but I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. You see, the first excuse maker thought more about his possessions than he did following Christ. The second excuse maker thought more about his family than he did God. And the third excuse maker made an excuse about his family as well. But you see, Jesus has asked us to lay down our lives, to lift up our crosses and to live out His will so that others might know Him. Nothing is more important than being a disciple who has learned to deny themselves, who is willing to lift up their cross, and to live out God's will in this world. And for me, and for the young pastor at Zimbabwe, and for all of us, there's really only one answer. Follow Him, for He is Lord, God Almighty, everlasting. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He loves us so much that He went to the cross and died for us. And loves us so much that He knows that if we give up our life, we'll find it. If we give up our life, we'll find it. And the great thing is, maybe because of our life, and people imitating us, they might find their real life. This morning, as we transition into taking our communion service, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's Jesus Paid It All, number 249. The invitation is very clear. If you don't know Him as your Savior, I invite you to come and accept Him today. Simply by saying, Lord, I want You to be the Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And I want Your Holy Spirit to help me to live this Christ-like life and take up my cross. Maybe this morning you're not a member of a local church. I will tell you, take up your cross with us.